Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and don't forget you can sign up for our daily podcast. It's free, and you can hear this program at your convenience on your computer or portable device. Sign up for the podcast at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Well, we learned this morning about 2 hours ago, if you haven't heard yet, that the economy is officially out of recession. There was a little bit of growth in the last quarter announced today, but how's your 401k? Last fall's stock market crash had many people gnashing our teeth over depleted retirement plans. Some people refused to even open their quarterly statements for fear of seeing those emaciated balances. One more casualty of the Great Recession. And another one seems to be America's faith in the retirement savings system that 50% of workers now rely on. So is it time, as Time Magazine asks in its October 19th issue, to dump the 401k? My guests argue for and against. Joining us now are Stephen Gandel, Time Magazine reporter and author of that cover story, and Stephen Butler, retirement advisor and author of the book 401k Today. He argues the rumors of 401k's frailty are greatly exaggerated. Stephen and Stephen, welcome to WNYC. Hello.
Good morning.
Hi, how are you?
And Mr. Gandel, your article argues that it's time to dump the 401k as our primary retirement planning tool. Why?
Well, it hasn't worked out. If you look at balances, they're much lower than they should be, than they need to be for someone nearing retirement. It's not nearly enough for someone to live on for 20 or 30 years in retirement. And we've seen over the last year, year and a half, how sensitive these accounts are to the market. And they're more sensitive for the people who are closer to retirement. And that's not a system that works. It's a system that it's random for who it works out for. If you retire in a year when the market does pretty well, or you're retiring near in a time where the market's done well for the last few years, it's actually not even the last year, but it's any time around when you retire. If that happens to be, if you happen to retire in 2006, 2007, you do well. But if you retire in 2008, you're headed not quite for cat food, but you've got some serious problems with your retirement. And this is a random thing that we shouldn't just hope that our retirees retire at the right time. We should give them this plan that's stable no matter when they retire.
And what plan would that be? I mean, in the modern world where people change jobs so much, you can't go back to an assumption that somebody's going to work for the same company for 30 years and then get a pension from them, right?
Yes. No. In our article, we focus on one company, Occidental Petroleum, and we say that, you know, back even when they had yes, people did better in that pension plan, but even back when they had a pension plan, it wasn't perfect, and pension plans weren't perfect, and that's not what we're suggesting. We're not suggesting that governments need, that companies need to take on that burden, and you're right, the problem of portability is a major problem with pensions. What we're suggesting is private pensions, a private guaranteed defined benefit plan that you pay into that sticks around with you. It's not based on your employer. Your employer doesn't have control of it. You pay into a larger system that many employers sign on to, which will bring down the costs, and it sticks with you. And if you pay into that system 5% of your salary over 30 years, you're guaranteed you'll get a quarter of your pre-retirement income.
But that sounds like the same as a 401k, because the worker still has to contribute most of the money.
Yes, no,
just
we're not putting
with less choice of investment vehicles. No?
Right. We're not giving you the choice of investment vehicles because people don't generally do that very well. What we're asking you to give, and that's what's very appealing to many people about the 401k, I get to control it, but we're saying that doesn't work out. We're saying that you'd be better off giving up some of that control for a guarantee of your income. And it's not what the 401k is, because the 401k is not nearly providing 25% of people's income in retirement.
Mr. Butler, you had a piece in the Contra Costa Times and other newspapers taking issue with the Time article and arguing that pensions or defined benefit plans, as he describes, where you get a set amount each year after you retire, are not a viable solution. How come?
Well, the article was pointing out the fact that that 401k had failed, and the problem with that assumption is that it presupposes, as a starting point, that people just spend all their entire account balance the day they retire. That's just not the case, of course. start nibbling on their 401k plan to provide retirement income. And most people in these plans who are retiring today have been through at least five of these downdrafts in the market since the early 1970s. And what they realize historically is that the first 12 months following one of these downdrafts in the market, we've seen a 38% rise in stock market values in that first 12-month period, an 11% rise on the average in the second 12-month period, and a 4% rise in the third 12-month period. So most people understand that there's a snapback effect, and they're living that right this minute as we speak. We've seen a 62% rise in stock market values. So I don't think people are unhappy with their retirement benefit as the 401k plan would provide it.
But and even taking even looking beyond the recent crash and partial recovery, the numbers can look pretty bad. The average 401k from the numbers that I saw has only $45,000 in it. Even among older people, those close to retirement have on average only $78,000, hardly enough to live on for 20 or 30 years. So maybe Mr. Butler has a point. I mean, Mr. Gundell has a point that this system of just letting people invest willy-nilly and having it come out of their own pockets is resulting in too little investment in retirement and not enough wisdom about how to use that money.
Well, let's first of all talk about those numbers that you just cited, because I think they're dead wrong. The number that is more commonly heard out there for people in their 60s is $150,000 in their existing 401k plan, and that does not include the amount of money that has been accumulating in rollover individual retirement accounts as they went from one job to another, leaving whatever previous 401k plans they were in. It's not unusual for somebody today, let's say, to have that $78,000 in their existing 401k, but back at Hewlett-Packard, where they worked for 20 years up until 10 years ago, they may have $200,000 or $300,000 in that 401k. And these other account balances are created by the 401k phenomenon are not included in these numbers. It drives me nuts when I see that oversight being cited all the time.
I agree with you that the numbers are larger for people close to retirement, but still $150,000 is not enough to retire on. And you're right, they may have other accounts, but the vast majority of 401k accounts are, we have it in the story, but they're mostly small. It's amazing how many have less than $10,000 in them. So you're right. We didn't know what number to use. We just went with average because we figured every other number people are kind of engineering somehow.
So we figured we'd
give you the average. But even when you add up all these things, which I can't really add up, and you and Stephen Butler can't really add up because we don't know. We know there's probably some rollover, but we don't know what it amounts to. When you add up all this stuff and you look at from the Boston College the retirement savings risk, it's going up. It's going up it's higher for 65-year-olds than it was a decade ago, and it's projected to be higher for 55-year-olds and 45-year-olds, because the longer we use the 401k of our system, the more retirees are at risk of not having enough money when they finish working.
We're going to talk in a few minutes to Roger Ferguson, president of TIAA CREF, which is, of course, a major set of retirement funds, who argues a middle way of reforming 401ks. But before you each go, what about the politics of this? Mr. Gundell, it's one thing to put an article in Time magazine and have a lot of people read it. It's another thing to have Congress take away the system that employers at least seem to like. Is there any political hope of getting what you want enacted?
I'm not sure all employers like it. Again, most employers don't want to go back to a pension system where they are the providers. But the plan that we talked about, retirement insurance, is backed by the organization that the plan providers – I got to think of what it's an organization that's backed by large employers that looks at benefits, specifically looks at benefits from large employers, and they like the idea of some kind of exchange system like we're talking about with healthcare, where people would go into an exchange and they'd be able to buy a private guaranteed guaranteed retirement insurance. So a lot of large employers like this idea. And, you know, both sides of the aisle kind of are comfortable mm-hmm. with the idea of government having some role in managing retirement.
And we just have 30 seconds, Mr. Butler, but why shouldn't we be arguing for a return to more employer responsibility altogether? Why isn't the history of, you know, the last generation one of employers trying to just shirk this part of what used to be their responsibility to provide money for some kind of pension plan onto the workers?
Well, I think the American public has essentially voted with their feet. And what that says is that there's $3 trillion in 401k plans today and probably another $2 trillion in rollover IRAs that was created that were created by 401k accumulations. And what that says is that they're entirely happy with the current system.
I don't think so. I think it says it's the only job they got, which we agree. We said in a story, in the story after, that of the choices you got, it's the best choice. So I don't think it's saying it's the best choice possible. It's just the best choice that's out there.
Stephen Gandel, Stephen Butler, thank you both very much for joining us. Roger Ferguson, head of TIAA CREF, coming up next, and he will take your phone calls about the particular challenges that you are facing. And what a day to talk about this. This is the 80th anniversary of the stock market crash of 1929, and this is the day that the federal government has reported this morning that officially the recession is over. So how's your 401k? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. We'll talk about your 401ks and a middle ground reform proposal in a minute.